Hi, and welcome to Sacrificially Speaking. This podcast is all about what it looks like to walk out your calling, whether that's leading, serving, celebrating, or sacrificing. We're going to talk about the call of God on your life, how to step into it, and everything that comes with the journey. First, in this episode, we just want to introduce ourselves and celebrate the launch of this new thing. We're so glad you're here, so let's jump in. My name is Havana Davison. I'm 21. I'm currently a college student. I run my own business. But above all, I'm called into ministry, and I have the wonderful opportunity to intern under Pastor Shane here at the Bend Church. Pastor Shane is going to tell you a little bit more about himself in just a minute. But first, I would like to say that if you spend any time with him at all, you will know that his passion is raising up the next generation into ministry, which is why we're here. I want to bring everything that we get to discuss and that I get to learn from him to you guys at home. So let's get into a little bit more about you.
Yeah.
All right, Pastor. According to ChatGPT, I did research with you on ChatGPT.
Yeah.
You are a church revitalization expert, author of multiple books, renowned international conference speaker, Christian media personality, and community leader, among other things. But I'd like to take a step back and dive into who you are as a person and how God has shaped you and led you into these incredible opportunities.
Well, first of all, I don't know where they came up with all that information.
Didn't that sound good? Well,
but if that's online about me, that's awesome.
I know.
Right?
Isn't that pretty great?
No. You know, I started, had a call ministry at the age of 12. Started at 12 years old when I gave my life to the Lord, and actually started preaching on the streets in downtown Nashville, Tennessee. Started out talking to winos and prostitutes and drug addicts and people who were just really, really messed up. Got a burden for that, and then chased that dream all through high school. Went into Bible college, got out of Bible college, and go to a church at the age of 21 and speak, and there's 11 people there, and they decide to elect me as pastor, and I didn't know I could say no. And so, long story short, I've been pastoring now for 35 years, and you know, not only pastoring, but had the fortune to do television, to be a part of secular media stuff, author books, and several things like that. But my biggest passion is just to see people succeed and help them do what God's called them to do.
All right.
It's scary to me that we're going to have some of these conversations that I share with her and others behind the scenes, because
you're going to have so much fun.
We're going to have fun.
He's going to have fun. Anyway, we're going to hit a couple key points. So you talked about kind of how you got into ministry, when you felt called. You felt called at a really young age, which is kind of not the norm
anymore. Right.
But I want to talk about church growth a little bit. So what do you think about yourself has led to such growth? And how has your leadership style evolved because of the growth you've seen?
Wow, that's a really complicated question. I think one of the things, the primary thing that led to a lot of my growth is my, it sounds so weird to say this word about yourself, but my humility and my willingness to learn and my openness to change, and being willing to be fluid in the times, not when it comes to doctrine or what I believe, but just the fluidity of trying to figure out how to navigate generational, situational leadership issues. And so because of that, it's taught me a lot. I've learned a lot. In some of that process, I've learned certain keys that you can pass down to people if they're willing and humble enough to admit they don't have all the answers. And you can pass that down. And I'm in a state of ever learning right now. We're in a new time. It's a new generation and a whole lot of new ideologies that are flooding into the system. And so I'm constantly having to just immerse myself into a learning process. And, you know, so that I know what I'm talking about, or at least I sound like I know what I'm talking about. But,
you know, at least sometimes we sound like it.
It's important to be relevant. But, you know, it's also very important for those of you who are leaders, want to lead, for you to be self-aware enough that you self-assess to the point you know that you're weak in an area and you're strong in areas and you need help in both of those areas. So accountability and mentorship All of those things were very important to me through the years. Even to this day, I have five primary voices that speak into my life. They all have similar visions, but they keep me, they hold me accountable, and we just walk life together. And then if they don't know an answer, I go try to find it.
You know, what else are you going to do? All right, let's get into media influence a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How did being in the public eye shape you as a leader and communicator? And did it change your approach to ministry?
Being in the media eye brings a whole different basket to the table. You know, when I was coming up, and I want to clarify this, when I was coming up in ministry and getting started in ministry, there was very few preachers or Christian speakers that I saw in the media at all. So I never dreamed that that would be something that I would have an opportunity to do. Now, confidentially, and I don't think I've ever told you this, when I was 12 years old and I was called to preach and I'd go preach down on the streets in Nashville, I would have dreams, and I'd be standing behind a couch, and there would be a family sitting on the couch, and I would look over their shoulder, and on the television set, I would see myself preaching to them and giving an altar call and them coming to the television, putting their hands on it. But never in a million years did I think that was really going to be a possibility. So whenever God suddenly, and when I say suddenly, I mean, it was suddenly, unexpectedly, I didn't make it happen. It was like God, in that moment, opened the door, I walked through it. When that happened, it brought a whole new dimension to my life. Yes, it brought some notoriety, and that was good for the kingdom's sake, because I tried to handle it right. But with it also, it brought a lot of persecution. And for those of you who have a desire to be in media, I don't care if you're in the secular world or whatever, if you have a strong opinion about
anything,
you're going to be persecuted over that opinion. So it becomes vitally important you know who you are and what you're called to do, because if not, you quickly get into mission drift, and then you quickly get formed into a Frankenstein. And that happens in ministry a lot. And one of the things that really stuck out to me as I got deeper and deeper and deeper in the media world is just how many people got caught up in the celebrity, lost the humility, and got off track.
We like to keep it humble around here, don't worry.
They keep me humble, I promise you. My wife keeps me humble.
Yeah, we love
But Havana it. And Harley and everybody else, all the other young adults, they do their fair share as well.
It's really fun.
Everything from, hey, you don't smell good, to, hey, pastor, that makes you look really old. So.
It's good for you. We're keeping you with the times.
Exactly.
You know?
I got it.
It's good. All right. I want to touch this one because I know it's really relevant at the moment. You've been involved in the political realm, addressing cultural and societal issues outside of the church. Mm-hmm. Why do you step outside of the church world, and what has your involvement in politics taught you about balancing faith and societal responsibility?
Well, first of all, I don't feel like being involved politically is stepping outside of the church world. The word church in the Bible is the Greek word ekklesia, which was used in Greece and then adopted by Rome. And it was a term that was used about a called out group of people that were sent into a territory to help legislate certain things in a territory. And they had to elect officials and set policies. And so I think as a spiritual leader, I have not only a right in America, but a responsibility to be involved politically. I will tell you, the one big lesson I've learned from that is never trust a politician. Never trust a politician. Now, I've got some friends who are politicians. I trust them wholeheartedly just because I know their life. But not everybody who claims to be on your side in the political world is on your side. Most of the time, they're just using you to get an agenda accomplished. And I understand that going in, but I'm just there to represent the kingdom of God. And I think it's very important for Christians to get involved. If they, we have a responsibility to do that. And we have a right in America to do that as well. So, you know, it's wrong for us to let other voices be louder than our voice when we're supposed to be letting His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one. You have led international crusades and spoken mm-hmm. globally. How have these experiences shaped your perspective on ministry, and what personal impact did they have on you?
Well, as anybody knows that travels at all, every culture is different. And I'm amazed at how many Americans are so obnoxious when they go to other cultures because they think everybody should be like them, and they just become offensive. And you'd be shocked at the amount of preachers or pastors that I've taken to do crusades that were incredibly gifted speakers, but everybody hated them because culturally they didn't respect the group of people they were speaking to. So it's taught me that cultures are different, mm-hmm. That the approach to reaching people is very different, and you have to be, again, very fluid, very versatile. And I've had the fortune to speak to little small groups in huts in the middle of nowhere, you know, while I'm speaking, literally people who had starved to death laying in a ditch, you know, bodies just stacked up in the greatest famine in that part of the world. And then I've had the other side of that. I've been in stadiums and crusade areas where literally I could not see the back of the people, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, both of them have a different impact on you. But one of the things I love to do, which is interesting, is whenever I go to various cultures to speak, I actually ask if I can stay in the pastor's home or if I can stay with somebody that has a big enough home to accommodate me. Because mm-hmm. living with them like they live teaches me a lot about them. And I love that.
With.
Yeah, I love it. And I can't really say that there's one culture that stands out to me above the other. I love Europe, very especially certain parts of Europe, but there are certain other places that just, man, they just tug at your heart every time you go. So I love it. But yeah, I've been around a lot.
All right.
This suitcase is worn out. Let's just say it that way. Yeah.
All right, last question. Uh-huh. You've accomplished a lot over the years. As you look back on your life and ministry, what has most shaped you to be who you are today as a pastor, leader, and person?
Pain.
I knew that was going to be your answer. It's not sad. I was like, it's going to be something about pain.
So, of course, it goes without saying, the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work in our lives, shapes us the most. But outside of that, there's only two ways to really move forward in life. Mentorship or pain. And what happens is when you reject one voice, that only leaves God the option of the other. And so the times that I didn't listen to good advice and I thought I knew what I was doing, I stepped out. It was very, very, very painful. And then what happens is after a while, the pain gets so bad that you either quit or you change. And so pain is one of those life tools, you know. It really is true when the going gets tough. The tough get going. Honestly, pain is what separates the boys from the men and the girls from the ladies. It's really what separates it, and you cannot avoid it. I still haven't learned to embrace it, but I have learned to navigate it.
Oh, I mean, you've made it this far, 35 years.
Yeah, let's don't knock on wood.
You're not allowed to go anywhere now, don't worry. All right, well, that's all we have for the introductory episode of Sacrificially Speaking. We're so glad that you joined us today. Mm-hmm. As this podcast is for you guys at home, we really want to take the conversations we're having to you guys. So with that, follow us along on social media. It's mm-hmm. all at Sacrificially Speaking, and you can engage with us there. Let us know what you want to hear, and mm-hmm. we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, let us know the topics you want us to discuss, things you want to learn about. Don't be afraid to put something, a question or a comment,
yes,
because we will check all of them and we will respond, I promise.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
I think that's it.
Have a great one, guys.